the pages we turn, and we're thankful for what we learn. We rightly divide this truth that we'll show, and we'll know which way to go.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Craig, and this is Study His Word Radio, or Study His Word. Welcome. Thank you for being here. And I want to say welcome and to my guest, Bob Goyer, who's been here before. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me again, Craig. Coming back twice, or no, thrice now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a regular thing. I wanted to mention, I could hear that opening song.
Yes.
That's a good opening song you got there.
Well, thank you. And usually we're joined by a third, Tom Schultz, but Tom is kind of out today.
Yeah, he's out today. So he misses being able to be here, but, you know, he's a good guy, and we'll catch up with him later.
Yep. So, and we will catch up with him
yes.
later. So anyway, today obviously is Good Friday. This Sunday is Easter, or, you know, kind of, we call it Easter, but in reality, the real name of it is Resurrection Sunday,
yes.
but it's commonly known as Easter. And, you know, I've been having conversations. I had a couple conversations earlier today about the importance of Good Friday. And, you know, we see a lot of commercialization around the holidays, particularly around Easter and Christmas. And I think in addition to that, there's also this, I mean, it even came up here at the station. Why would you have a celebration of somebody being crucified? It seems kind of an odd thing. So kind of along that vein, I want to just throw that out to you, kind of maybe two parts of that. Why would you even bother celebrating about somebody being crucified? And then along that lines, you know, what does Good Friday mean to you, or how important is it to you?
So that's the question you have for me.
That's a
deep question, but actually it's probably a very simple answer. In fact, I was reading just today about in Romans chapter 6, which I think is just an amazing chapter to really dig into, and if we could grasp the reality of this, and I'll read some of it, and that'll help kind of get us going, I guess. But it says in Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sins that grace may abound? Because this is the gospel of grace we're talking about. Paul's gospel. It's the gospel of grace, you know, that unmerited favor that we have, that we're saved by faith, or faith by grace through faith. And so, and he says, God forbid, how shall we then that are dead to sin live any longer therein? No, this the big verse right here for me. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And of course, that's Good Friday is about his death.
Right.
About his crucifixion. And what happened while he was on the cross, which it changed history, obviously. We can't forget also, when I think of his death, it's really, his death isn't complete until he's resurrected too. So that's on Sunday. That's why I refer to it as Resurrection Weekend. It's really resurrection.
Right.
We would not have life, eternal life, if we didn't, he wouldn't have risen from the dead to begin with, but he had to die first.
Right.
But what happened on the cross? And I think that gets glossed over way too much. I know I do. I mean, you just kind of say it and you go on, but when he died on the cross, he died in our place. He took every sin, all sin. Now, when I read that, I read that he took all sin, not just the sins present and future, but past sins. I mean, his blood, to me, I don't know if this is the right way to term it, but flows backwards just as far as it goes forward, so to speak. And so the patriarchs of old benefit from his blood. Abraham and Joseph, they benefit from his blood, even though they didn't necessarily know about all of that. And so that's how they can, and anybody can be eternally, you know, saved in eternity with the Lord. And eternity, when Christ died, on the cross, when he took all that sin, he took it in my place. I don't have to do anything. It's a free gift that he freely gives to anybody that wants to receive it, which is amazing. It is totally mind-blowing to think about that. And just for me, he died, took on my sin, and my sin is clean. It's no more. He redeemed me. His atonement covers all that. And so what my job to do, or my part, is to just have faith in that. Believe it. Receive it. And it's that easy, you know, that he did that for me and for everybody. And I don't know if that seems too easy. It is easy, but it's hard because we want to do things our own way. Our flesh gets in the way, and our sin nature gets in the way, and all those things. But I've been a Christian now since 1972, and there's more and more depth to what he did. It's not like, oh, well, he did it, okay, I move on with life. It is a daily, it really is almost a daily thing where you think, but what did he do for me? Do I deserve this? I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything to get it. You know, I'm just a nothing. But he did it, nonetheless, for me. And when he was on the cross, he thought of me. You know, and I don't know how he did that, but he did it.
You know, it's interesting because I had a message from somebody this morning, and it was on this subject of Good Friday. And, you know, the person wrote, hard to believe, hard to fathom. And my response I sent back, you know, it truly is. And it's, and I said, when you really ponder it, it humbles you, mm-hmm. and it brings true gratefulness. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes we've lost that. 'Cause it's easy to go through, you know, go through Good Friday, Easter, the weekend, and not to really ponder it, mm-hmm. and not to really think about it, and not to really think how really unbelievable it is that he would do something like that, mm-hmm. for us.
Right. Yeah, and when I read that verse, it says that we have been immersed or baptized into Christ Jesus. We were baptized or immersed into his death. I grew up Lutheran. We baptized, well, sprinkled. That was type of baptism. And then, of course, other churches do it a different way. There's dunking, and certain words you have to say, certain techniques or whatever it is. And to me, that has gotten so far away from the true meaning, because it's not about water baptism. Yes, Jesus did get water baptized, but he was fulfilling the law. Under Jewish customs, Jewish law, that was a requirement or a cleansing, and he fulfilled that. But for us, it's a gift that we are given to just be immersed into him, not by water, but by our spirit. In Ephesians 1, it talks about our spiritual blessings in Christ. That's a spiritual blessing we have in Christ. It's not a natural blessing to be water baptized. You know, it's we're immersed into Christ. And I think that message is, I don't even know if it's taught much out there at all. I you know, I'm not out there in churches, you know, but the emphasis is on water and what happens with water dunking instead of our spiritual immersion into Christ, and then all the spiritual benefits we have because of that. I mean, we're a new creation in Christ when that happens. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness when that happens. We have spiritual blessings that are just unending when we're immersed into Christ. It isn't just a ritual of some kind. I don't think God's into rituals at all.
No.
He's not into man-made customs and man-made ways of doing anything. It's a spiritual thing that happens. And it's not easy to understand sometimes because it is a spiritual understanding that we have. And allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate our understanding of it.
You know, you mentioned that all our sins, you know, are forgiven, past, present, future. This is what he accomplished on the cross. You know, there's another aspect to that I think also gets overlooked lots of times. And particularly, I think it gets overlooked when we as Christians are presenting the gospel message to an unbeliever, talking with an unbeliever and things like that. And I think sometimes this kind of gets downplayed, but you know, when yes, we are sins are forgiven, but in this life here, the other thing that was accomplished is that we are no longer a slave to mm-hmm. sin while we're here on earth. We don't have to live under the slavery of sin, mm-hmm. and we do have that gift of being able to be released from it and not having it control our life.
Right, that's a good point, because it's not that we don't sin, because right. we're sinners saved by grace.
Right.
And we still have a sin nature, but we don't have to, that doesn't have to have the power over us. And we now have victory over sin because of Christ. And we can only have victory because of Christ.
Right.
Something I think of a lot when I listen to TV preachers, or there's books written and stuff, and it's like, you know, the title might be something like "Have Your Best Life Now," you know, type of thing. And I think some of these TV preachers or whatever think that you can make your sin nature better. No, we crucify that sin nature daily. Mm-hmm. We have to put it down. It wants to raise its ugly head every day.
Right.
That's how I, you know, and there is a battle going on between our soul and our spirit, which is going to win out, so to speak. Well, we want to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. But if we allow ourselves, we can choose to live by the flesh, even though we're saved, even though we're redeemed, even though Christ, you know, sin, what he did on the cross covers all our sin, we can still choose to live by sin. And I think, I don't know if that's where people get confused on that too, because that sin has been taken care of. It's no more, but we still have to deal with it. And he gives us that victory. And that is, I think, part of that being immersed into Christ. When you're immersed into Christ, you become a new creation. Something should change. If you're not changing, if something isn't different, if there isn't if you don't realize that you've died to yourself and now you live with Christ, that can be head knowledge, but it has to be based in faith. And if you don't have that, I'd encourage somebody to go and pray a little more about that, because you should feel something. I know I did. I know I changed back in 1972 when I, you know, was saved. Something changed, like a light switch. And it was later on I realized I was a new creation in Christ, mm-hmm. that he had redeemed me at that point. I didn't know all that then, that moment. But as time went on and I learned, boy, that was amazing what he did for me at that point. And now I get to live this out. And and I can either let live according to the flesh or the Spirit now. And I choose to live by the Spirit. But do I always? No.
Well, you know, that's a very important thing is, you know, you should notice a change. Other people should notice a change in you.
You're right.
Yes, I still sin. But the difference is, back when I was a non-believer, I was living life. And many of the things that I did and said, I was just normal. Mm-hmm. That was just the way society was. That was just, you know, the things I said, the things I did. But when you're changed, you're still battling those, but you see it as sin. Mm-hmm. You don't see it as a non-believer, or you don't see much of it as being sin. You're just thinking it's normal. But when you go through that change, and when you're confronted, like you said, you're confronted with it every day. That's the change that you've gone through. You know, now you're living a different life, and it's that you want to live right. a different life. Right. I think that's the biggest part. The reason why, you know, you battle sin and you take on that battle and is because you want to see the victory. You want something better.
Yeah, it makes me think about if you do sin, in the Holy Spirit will show you, you'll get convicted, you'll be, you know, whatever. And because Jesus has already forgiven that sin, it's already been taken care of, we don't have to, we'll call it, repent of that sin. We have already been forgiven, so we can thank him for forgiving us of that. Because he already knew ahead of time we were going to do that.
Right.
But he already took care of it. He's already taken, he died for that sin. So who are we to repent of a sin he's already taken care of? It's how I see it. Repent just means to turn, reconvinced to go another way or be
right.
turn
to
around, to change. Yeah. And that is a daily thing we do. You know, we have been changed. We're changed from glory to glory. And it's a progressive thing of deepening our understanding relationship and our walk with the Lord. And each day should be is a new day in the Lord. Just because what you did yesterday, it's not, you still have to wake up the next day and it's a new day. And his mercies are new every day. And his blood is still there, and what he did for us is still there. He died and he rose. It's an amazing thing. And I think on like a Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, it's really good to remind ourselves of these things. Talk to other Christians about it. Find out what they're learning and experiencing and what it means to them. Because if we don't, if we just listen to a sermon and go on our way, you know, we're missing a lot. We need to really be encouraging one another, being around one another, and the Lord be in our midst all the time. See, the way I see it, we're, as the body of Christ, our job is to encourage one another and edify one another and build each other up. Yes, the world needs saved, but from what I can tell, Paul was focused primarily on the body of Christ, not on the world. God will take care of the world.
Right.
You know, what is going on. He knows what's going on in people's lives, and certainly we want to reach them with the gospel. But we need more, I think, more body attention to the body. And so I think that's what Paul was referencing a lot.
Paul said, you know, specifically spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are for the edification of the saints, for the building of the body. That's us. So we are to use our spiritual gifts for the benefit of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's almost sort of like it's inward focused, as opposed to excuse me, we are not given these spiritual gifts to go out and use our spiritual gifts out there in the world. It's for the benefit of the body. And when the body is strengthened, then we are able to share the gospel, spread the gospel with unbelievers. But I think sometimes we get improper focus in that all of our efforts, you know, outside of attending church on Sunday and maybe Wednesday night prayer, all our efforts are to be focused on reaching the world and using our gifts to reach the world, when in fact our gifts are for the saints.
Yeah. I mean, that's what in Ephesians, which chapter is it? It lists pastor, prophet, evangelist, apostle, teacher. There's five. And it says specifically it's for the edification, for the building up of the saints.
Right.
It doesn't say to reach the world for Christ.
Right.
You know, and that is a kind of a radical thing. You know, the ministry I believe that the church has today, the body of Christ has today, is not evangelism, even though that's probably what most would say. I don't see that even written anywhere that Paul talked about. He said we have the ministry of reconciliation. It's reconciling others to God. Well, how do we do that? You know, and that's I don't know if we do that through evangelism, but it's our lives. Our lives are a living
testimony,
and our lives are a witness to the unsaved. But it's God. God is the one who draws men to Himself. It isn't us. Now He'll use us certainly, but you could have some aborigine somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and God is drawing that person. He knows what that person needs to reconcile them to Himself.
Right.
So that's His job.
He'll make sure that the methods used, whatever, to reach that person will happen.
Yeah.
However, yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just lost my thought. I don't know. I had a thought and it escaped from me.
Well, we have those. Yeah. But, you know, going back to, I know we focused a lot on Paul, but he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He right. is our apostle. He is, and that's who we, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And he taught about the crucifixion and what it means. You know, Peter, those guys didn't.
They didn't.
Really.
That's correct.
When it talked about the blood of Jesus, the redemption, the atonement, all those, it was Paul that had that revelation. So we do need to understand what Paul was saying and relate to it. Not that Peter and the others are not important, but of course, Paul, most of the New Testament is written by Paul. So that's why we talk about Paul so much, I guess, because it primarily is his, you know, what he, and he got the revelation directly from Jesus,
right.
The heavenly Jesus, not the earthly Jesus,
correct.
Which that's a whole nother topic we could get into. But anyway, I'm off in the weeds somewhere.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
We're talking about Good Friday, you know. But it's, you know, Jesus did that for us. You know, we are, it says in verse 4 of Romans 6, therefore we are buried with him by baptism, not water. Okay? We are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's a gift he gave us to be able to even experience that. And again, I was baptized. I was sprinkled as a Lutheran, and I was dunked as a charismatic. Okay,
right.
So I had it either way. But that's not what immersed me into Christ.
Right.
It was I came to the realization. No, I've already been immersed in Him. I am baptized into Christ. I am in Him. He is in me. I'm one with Him now. I don't have to go through some ritual to have attained that.
Right. Because at the time that the, quote, rituals, when you were sprinkled as a baby, whatever, when the time that the ritual occurred, it was simply a ritual. It didn't have anything to do with your relationship with Christ, with you being immersed into Christ.
Right, right.
And so, you know, it was just a ritual.
It says we receive this by faith. That's the whole thing here. And it's free. It's a gift that's given to us. And it's up to us, though, to search the Scriptures and study the Scriptures so we can understand what He's done for us.
Right.
That's how I see it. So it's not a, you know, like if people ask every once in a while, have you been baptized? When they're asking, have you been baptized in water? Well, that's really not the question. The question is, have you been immersed into Christ? Have you, by grace, been saved by faith? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know if you have been, because you're a new creation in Christ when that happens.
Right.
And if you don't, if you're an adult and you understand what's going on, and you don't have happening inside of you, I don't know if you've gotten it.
Right.
I mean, it's only between you and God. I know that.
Right.
Just because you say the words doesn't mean, you know, and I probably shouldn't say this, but you know, just because you say I repent of my sins and I receive Jesus into my heart,
right?
That's nowhere to be found in the Bible in that way. You know, there's so much more to it than that.
Right. And I won't go down that road. but I have many times spoken about the church today. We really do a disservice by telling people, you know, all you have to do is say this, all you have to do, and we really do them the disservice. But I want to go down that road. I remember what my thought that had escaped me a few moments ago when you were talking about evangelism and how you live. And I firmly believe that the strongest witness that a Christian can give a non-believer, it's not sharing the gospel with them. It's not the Roman road. It's not those things. Yes, there's a place for those things. But I believe that the strongest thing we can do as a Christian is just demonstrate our new life every day. Mm-hmm. Just live it. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. But just if you're living your life the way it should be lived, that in and of itself is a witness.
You should be different.
Right.
There should be something different about us.
Right.
So like you're at work, something happens, and everybody else is freaking out, and you're at peace, mm-hmm. you're calm, and they wonder, how in the world can you be so at peace when all this right. turmoil is going on? It's because of the peace of Christ. If we are in Christ, and we have, now if you're feeling turmoil and you're feeling unrest, you can, in a split second, I've done it. No, I choose to be at peace because of Christ who lives in me. And then you have immediate peace
right.
because you're now focused on him rather than the turmoil. If you have financial problems, and there's a lot of stress that can be with finances, he is still there. He'll take care of you. But you can choose to be all in turmoil, worried, and stay up all night worrying about how you're going to make ends meet or whatever. But he is there, and he understands the whole issue. He's there. He's already he's taking care of it. And I don't know how many times, and I'm sure you've had this happen, where you think, how are we going to get through this? How is this going to happen? How are we going to make it here? And you always do when you put your trust in him. Even when you don't, he still takes care of you.
Right.
You know, he's just faithful.
Right. Yes. The answer is yes. I can't tell you how many times I've said, I have no idea how this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But it always happens.
Yeah.
One way or another. And, you know, the other thing about it is, too, the reason not to worry, the reason why you can have comfort without worry, is because worry never solves the problem. And my past experience told me that when I would worry about something and come up with, well, I could do this, or I could do this, or how am I going to do this, or what, it never plays out the way I'm picturing mm-hmm. it in my mind. So I'm worrying about finding a solution, and it's almost never the solution that it ends up being. So it's like, why worry? Just, you know, I hate to say it'll take care of itself, but he has a way of working it out.
You know, those are the spiritual blessings we have in Christ, is that when even when we don't acknowledge him being in our life, you know, even when we don't consciously think about it, he's still there. He's still working on our behalf. He's still for us. He's never against us. He's always working things out for our good, even if we don't, you know, realize it. But when we stop to really realize it, it's like, man, it makes life so much better. Makes it so much easier. Makes it so much. Does that mean that situation is gone immediately? No, it's still there, but we know who's going to take care of it. We know we can trust him. Because what he did on the cross, he did. He's done everything on our behalf, and we it says in verse 6 of Romans 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. When we're in worry, we're in sin. Right. When we're in turmoil, we're allowing sin to reign in our bodies. That sin nature has been crucified on the cross with Christ, and then daily we have to crucify that because it wants to raise its ugly head.
Right. And it always will as long as we're in this body.
That's right.
Alive on this earth.
But we have something to look forward to that I am so excited about. That is when we, in the twinkling of an eye, we're not going to get in this now.
No, we're not going
to
get
into that. But is when we go from corruptible to incorruptible.
And then there will be no sin.
That's right.
And there will be no temptation. Yeah. And there will be no worry.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that day. I mean, it could come right now. I'm ready for it.
And it's, again, it's one of those things that if you don't stop and think about it, you don't appreciate what it's going to be. I mean, we really don't know how good it's going to be, but we know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And so if you, and you know, that's one, that's the other side of that. That's if you stop and ponder it long enough, there again, that brings forth the gratefulness because you realize that, I don't deserve this.
Yeah. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, in a twinkling of an eye, we go from corruptible to incorruptible. Okay. That means we're no longer dominated by the sin nature. We are now free of that and forever.
Yes.
And what an amazing, another heavenly blessing we have, we're looking forward to. Right now, we're in a corruptible body.
Right.
We have sin nature. It's been crucified, and that's why we have victory over it, but we still have to deal with it nonetheless.
And when you think about that, why in the world would you want to buy a book that tells you how to get your best life now?
Yeah. Why do you want to improve the flesh? I don't want the flesh.
I don't need my best life now because my best life is coming.
It's coming. Yes.
It's coming.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's another thing. When we are immersed into Christ, when we're baptized into Christ, we enter eternity. It's how, we're now in. And we're already going to be in eternity,
right?
Either way, but now we're eternally secure in the Lord for eternity,
right?
Eternity kind of begins, so to speak,
right,
at that moment. Now we're either going to be the living dead or the living life. We can choose the life or we can choose death, but either way, you're eternally, existing,
right?
But I don't want anybody. I work at an assisted living facility, and I get to share sermons or preach or teach at different times. And the one thing I emphasize all the time is, none of us are guaranteed that we'll be here tomorrow morning.
That's right.
And I want to see us all having a great time in heaven together.
Right.
Okay. I don't want anybody to not be there, but you have to choose this day, you're going to live for the Lord or live for yourself. So many times they don't understand that, but it's still a reality that we have to surrender ourselves to the Lord and let him, we have to be immersed into Christ. Yeah, there's no other way around it. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to be reconciled to God. God sent Jesus to the earth so mankind could be reconciled to himself.
Right. It's funny because, lots of times, I've heard Christians say, Christ died to save you from your sins or something along that lines. Mm-hmm. But in reality, that is a good way of looking at it. But in reality, Christ died to save us from God's wrath.
Yeah.
Because each one of us is born into this world already condemned to the wrath of God. And so that's really what we're being saved from.
That's well said, yeah. And I think that maybe that needs to be shared, emphasized a lot more, because that is true.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you really read your Bible, there is a side of God that we have a tendency to not even talk about or really downplay, because everything is, you know, it's about God's love. It's about the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's fine, but you can read a lot of the Bible and not be feeling the love very well. Now, I'm not trying to cast dispersions on God, but you know, we have to look at it realistically. And when we talk to unbelievers, we have to present a realistic picture. Mm-hmm. It can't be all
right,
you know, unicorns and rainbows and God's love and Jesus's love. Yeah, but there is what you know, as a parent, you love your children. God loves us. But you discipline your children when they're mm-hmm. doing wrong. Mm-hmm. So we can't ignore that fact that right. God disciplines us. Mm-hmm. He disciplines us when we're doing wrong, and he does the ultimate discipline if we don't ever move away from that.
Right, right. You know, there's several verses in the New Testament that I can't remember where they're all at, but it talks about the wrath to come, God's wrath to come. You know, right now, in this world, Satan's wrath, man's wrath, is evident. Right now, God's wrath, his grace is kind of on display, so to speak, right now. But there's a time coming when his wrath will be the on mankind. You know, will be an open display. And you think it's bad now? Wait until God's wrath is unleashed.
Unleashed.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of take a shift here, Bob. Uh-huh. You mentioned, you know, at the assisted living place. Mm-hmm. Was anything done to recognize today, Good Friday? Are there special plans for Sunday? I know I threw you a curve.
Well, I'm not in any position to even plan any of that. But every Sunday there is a service, and every Sunday a different minister. There's like two or three I fill in, and then there's two or three that are regulars. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what they have planned, but I know them personally, and I know they're going to talk about, you know, Resurrection Sunday in the right way. I do know that, but I can't tell you specifically what they'll be doing, or there'll be a special meal, I'm sure. We had a really incredible they call it Easter dinner Wednesday night, and it was great. All the family, there's 200 people there, family with residents, and that is like our special Easter get together as family at where I work.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
So what's Bob going to do Sunday?
I don't know. You know, that's a good question, because our son lives in Florida, so, you know, they're going to do their own thing down there. And then our daughter and her family live in Marysville, and we talked, but they think they need to do some other things. So I don't know what my wife and I will do actually on Resurrection Sunday, but we'll do something. But, you know, it's not like it's a – it is a day to recognize what happened, but every day
is a
special day. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, it's like, you know, you're going to go out to eat special. Well, no, we already do that. You know, it's not like it's abnormal not to, you know, do something special. But, you know, for sure we will talk about and appreciate what that day means, because we were talking about it today, Resurrection Sunday, Resurrection Weekend. And so, it's actually a common thing to talk about around,
right.
You know, it's not like it's uncommon. You know, when I grew up, my parents, I don't ever remember them talking about the Lord.
Neither do I.
They may have, but I don't remember it. I don't remember having a Bible study at home. I don't remember ever having any of that going on. Now, were they a godly parents? I think so. They passed away when I was pretty young, but The Lutheran Church, one thing I can say about the Lutheran Church, I mean, I really appreciate, I honestly appreciate growing up there, because especially at communion, I can think back and I can still remember, I look forward to communion because I met with God during communion. And that's the one time I didn't knew God existed. I knew he was real. I knew he was, I was close to him at communion. So I always appreciate that about growing up there.
You know, it's kind of funny when you were saying about, you know, you didn't remember ever talking about certain uh-huh. things. You know, I had a similar upbringing. I mean, we went to church every Sunday and never missed a Sunday. But yet I don't remember my parents ever, mm-hmm. you know, in the home talking about God. We didn't start our meal with a prayer. And it's funny because even though I didn't have that reinforcement at home, I still have a lot of what I experienced all those mm-hmm. years going every Sunday to church. You know, just some of it sunk in. Mm-hmm. Now, that didn't make me a believer, and that right. didn't, you know, guarantee my salvation, but there was enough that sunk in with me that when the time came, it just kind of, it was there.
Yeah, growing up, I knew that Jesus died on the cross. I knew that he was the Son of God. I knew that he rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. And I knew that. The Apostles' Creed recited that every Sunday. Mm-hmm. Songs we sang about that. But until I was 22, it didn't become, my faith in it.
I was going to say it didn't have deep meaning to you.
Yeah, it was head knowledge.
Right.
It was good, but it didn't save me. Right. I know I wasn't saved.
Right.
At that, but it was until I became that new creation in Christ that I knew. I was sealed. You know, that's another heavenly blessing we have, being sealed in the Holy Spirit. Nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Right.
Nothing can... it's a whole nother topic for another day, is like once saved, always saved. But if we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, that's a done deal as far as I'm right. concerned. I mean, how do you unseal?
You can't.
I don't say you unseal. You know, and along those lines, you know, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. And so how can you get unsaved by works?
Right.
That's how I look, but when you're truly a new creation in Christ and you understand what he did for you, you don't want to go back to your old ways. You'll be convicted of sin. You'll see it. I mean, you may harden yourself to some things, and some people, they call it backsliding, I guess, and maybe you don't pay attention to the Lord like you should, but you're still in the Lord. You're still, if you're immersed into Christ, if you're a new creation, you don't become a non-new creation.
Right.
You
can't undo what God has done.
Yeah. So I think, so if a person has backslidden or has turned away from the Lord, it's as easy as saying, Lord, I was not even repenting. It's turning back, turning from that, and accepting what Jesus did afresh, I guess, and go on. And he won't condemn you. He won't punish you. He won't. Now, he may put some discipline in your life to get you on the right track, for sure, but he's a good father. He'll take care of us.
Right. And even if you are backslidden, you still have the Holy Spirit in you.
Yeah.
And he's still convicting you of things.
Yeah.
And I know from talking with other people that when you're going down that path, even though you can harden your conscience some, you can't completely, and you're still feeling the conviction. Now, you may be doing everything you can to squelch that feeling of the conviction, but you're still feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or else his word isn't true.
Right.
Yeah, but only you and, well, only God really knows if you've really given your life to him completely, too. and put your faith in what he did for you, you know, his death, burial, and resurrection. If you've done that, and it's a heart, it's from the heart, and it's with faith, you know, I don't see how, you know, if somebody's backsliding, I wonder how real that was.
Right.
And how deep and how secure they were. But, you know, we have a sin nature, and the sin nature can raise its ugly head, like I said, and you can live according to your sin nature. We can we choose daily how we want to live.
That's right. Well, Bob, the time is gone.
It's amazing. Goes by fast.
There's a couple topics there that have been brought up that I'm sure we'll discuss in the future. But I definitely want to thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And to my listeners, I would encourage you to take some time this weekend to ponder, you know, what it is that Christ has done for us, what it is that the Father has made happen. So take some time to ponder it this weekend. Spend some time with family. Have a great Easter, and I'll be back here next Friday. Thanks again.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity.